Thank God for blessing us in the wonderful ways He has blessed us and He is blessing us. God is good and He's worthy to be praised. I'm still excited and enthused about God and how awesome and authoritative God is and how He avails Himself to us. He is our stronghold and our times of trouble. He is a strong tower. He is our leaning post. He is everything we need. And certainly we honor Him and reverence and praise and worship Him for who He is and what He is doing. It's good for us to be alive, alert, and active, for it is in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. We thank God for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are to rejoice and be glad in it. It's good to be here in the New Bethlehem Baptist Church, and I'm excited about us coming together again on the fifth Sunday. So mark your calendars. January the 30th, we will have both 8 and 10:30 service, and we're excited. Registration will be up sometime this evening, and we want you to go ahead and register. God has healed, and God is healing us. We were affected a little by the Omicron variant, and I was told that there are 45 to 46 mutations of the Omicron variant, highly contagious. But we're going to press on in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have quarantined and all of that, give our congregants time to heal, and then it gives us time to consider the seriousness and the severity of this dreadful virus, the coronavirus. And I want to say to us that when we come back, we want to distance, we want to wear masks, we want to give way to the environmental safety team. We don't want to be defiant. We don't want to be resistant. We want to do what is said so that we'll be safe. And we won't gather after service, before service. We'll be in and out for the services. So look forward to registration on the fifth Sunday. And I'm excited about that. And I want you to get excited with me. I want to thank Deacon McLean for devoting us, Reverend McCoy for leading us in this worship experience, and Reverend Woods for praying for us, and Sister Pinky Van for rendering music, and Brother Joe Evans for singing God's songs, and Sister Tanja for announcements, Brother Ray and Brother Andrew for making this connection. It is imperative that we connect in the Lord because God wants to do great things in us and through us and for us. We're continuing in our preaching, reaching up unto God by way of prayer. And our passage today is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And as you're turning, let me say something about that great leader we had in the person of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. His birthday was on yesterday, and tomorrow we will observe his birthday as a national holiday. He led us well. He sacrificed his life so that we have privileges and liberties and freedoms as a people. And I don't want us to forget about his dream, that his dream don't become a nightmare, but it will be realized in our lives and in our living. So I want to encourage you tomorrow to take some time out of your schedule to celebrate, honor Dr. Martin Luther King. There's nothing wrong with honoring him. We don't worship him. We honor him. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. So tomorrow, sometime throughout tomorrow, day or night, pause to pay respect, to give honor to such a giant of a man who sacrificed his life for us to have freedoms and to experience equality and justice. So do that if you will. MFK Day. Amen. Don't just take it as a day of getting off work or as a day to sit around the house, but give honor to whom honor is due. And if you have children in the house with you, teach them about our legacy. We didn't just evolve out of nothing and nowhere. We have a rich legacy and a rich heritage. And so sit around and tell them the story about the Jim Crow era, the civil rights era, and all of that, and what we had to fight through to enjoy some of the privileges and some equality. We're not quite all the way there yet, but we trust God that we will eventually get there. So let his dream be dream, or be a dream and not a nightmare. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. It reads this way: I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, and I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Reaching up to God, reaching up to God. I want you to put that in the comment section as you like, as you participate, as you share. And we want to reach as many people as we can with the word of God. Reaching up to God. Reaching up to God. 1 Timothy chapter 2 is a manual for worship in the local church. Paul establish worship principles and procedure for Timothy and the members of the church at Ephesus. Paul, knowing what Timothy was dealing with in Ephesus, wrote to advise Timothy on how to serve and worship the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of people who were worldly and openly opposed to the preaching of salvation through Jesus Christ alone. There were people at Ephesus who were anti-Christian and anti-Christ. Paul wrote to advise Timothy on how to live and worship God among people that rejected Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, this letter helps us live the Christian life in a society that is anti-Christ and anti-Christian. There are some who want to silence the word of God, want to steal the work of God. There are people who don't want the work of God, forces that don't want the work of God to plow forward in our time. These are some trying times, turbulent times, troublesome times in which we live. There are forces arrayed today that are powerful and frightening. Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 said there are rulers, there are authorities, cosmic powers over the present darkness, spiritual forces over evil that have set up against the church and against the word of God. We, brothers and sisters, are in tough times, but let me pause to say to you that we haven't seen the worst of it yet. The worst is yet to come. But if there ever was a time that the church needs to be about the business of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is now. Somebody put in now. It is now. We need to be about the business of the Lord now. If we're going to preach, we need to preach now. If we're going to teach, we need to teach now. If we're going to sing, we need to sing now. If we're going to praise, we need to praise now. If we're going to worship, we need to worship now. Paul, he gives worship, a worship manual, and he puts prayer as first priority for church worship. Notice the words, first of all, in verse 1. He says, first of all, I would that prayer be made, prayers, supplication, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. The words first of all can mean first in time or first in importance. From the context, it means first in importance, which means that prayer is priority. Prayer should be first in order. It should be first in rank, first in importance. Before we do anything as a church, we should pray. Prayer should be the first thing we do. Don't do anything without praying first. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That word acknowledge simply means that we consult with God. We seek God. We pray unto God for directions. Prayer is absolutely central to everything the church does. Pray before reading the scripture. Pray before studying the scripture. Pray before praising the Lord. Pray before singing unto the Lord. Pray before teaching. Pray before preaching. We need to pray before we do anything. Write in the comment section if you will. Pray before you do anything. Paul mentions four of seven Greek words in the New Testament to describe prayer. He starts out by saying we should supplicate. We should pray by supplication. Supplication is to plead humbly. Supplication is to entreat God for help or favor for both personal needs and the needs of others. It is a request or petition made for special needs or desires. The idea is to ask or to bring yearning and intense needs before the Lord God. God wants us to cry out to him for help. God wants us to ask him for help in prayer. Let me give you a few examples of supplication. Number one, Moses asked to see God's glory in Exodus 33 verse 18. Number two, Hannah asked for a son in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 11. David, number three, asked for God. He asked for the punishment of his enemies in 2 Kings chapter 20 verses 1 through 3. Jesus asked for strength on the cross and power for believers in John chapter 17. Listen, if we're going to pray, we need to learn how to supplicate. Listen to God in scripture. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We go to God and plead humbly, asking him for specific help. But not only does he tell us to supplicate, but he tells us to make prayer. Listen, prayer is a God-directed conversation and petition. Every believer should have a time when he or she goes before the Lord without distraction, without hurry, just to spend some time talking with the Lord. I feel it from the old church. The old church would say, just a little talk with the Lord will make it all right. Listen, God wants to hear from you. God wants to be in conversation with you. Listen, when you pray, you talk to God. But when God gets ready to talk to you, you open the word of God and God will speak back to you. Paul says we should pray and supplicate, but he says we should be people who intercede. That means to go to God on behalf of other people. Jesus, he's our intercessor. He stands between God and us, praying for us. We should do as Jesus is doing for us. We should carry out the same ministry for others. We shouldn't be so much of me, my, and I when we talk to God. We should also talk about other people who have needs. When we go to God, pray for those who do not know God. Pray for those who know him but are not mature. We intercede, we pray, we supplicate, but then we give thanks. Spend some time thanking God. Your list of thanks should be so long that you can barely get to asking for something else, because as you look back over the chasm of your life, you see where God has brought you from and what God has done for you, and you should thank God for all that he has done for you. No prayer is complete without thanking God for what he has done already. Oh, brothers and sisters, we should give thanks. We should intercede. We should pray. We should supplicate. So he gives priority to prayer in public worship. And here it is, Paul. Number one, he tells us the people we should pray for. We should pray for everyone. Notice verses 1 and 2 says, therefore I exalt first of all that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men or all people, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Pray for all men. regardless of their ethnicity, nationality, social position. Alan Carr said there is no one on the face of the earth that should not be prayed for. Pray for both sinners and saints. Pray for both rich and poor. Pray for both sick and well. Pray for both bound and free. Pray for both good and bad. Pray for both friends and enemies. Pray for everyone. He gives two specifics in this petition that we should make before the Lord. He says, first of all, in verse 2, we should pray for civic leaders. He singles out those in positions of authority. He is telling us to pray for all leaders, both saved and unsaved leaders. Now, in Paul's day, that meant praying for cruel leaders like Nero, who persecuted both Peter and Paul, who lit his garden in the evening with the bodies of Christians covered with pitch, burned as human torches. And he says, pray for leaders. In our day, this means to pray for civic leaders such as the president, vice president, chief of staff, secretary of labor, secretary of transportation, secretary of internal affairs, secretary of agriculture, secretary of education, secretary of energy, secretary of house, secretary of health and human service, secretary of veteran affairs, secretary of commerce, secretary of defense, secretary of homeland security, secretary of state, UN ambassador, attorney general, secretary of treasury, secretary of state, governors, mayors, DAs, sheriffs, aldermen, alderwoman, women, judges, police chiefs, fire chiefs, etc. We should pray for those who are in leadership position, whether they are saved or not. Matter of fact, we should pray for the most despicable, disgraceful, discreditable leader we can think of. He says, pray for him or her. Pray for all men. He says, we pray so that we may live a quiet and peaceful life. Now, the word peaceful refers to the outward situation. It is a prayer to live free from outward disturbance. Now, the word quiet refers to the inner state of the church. In other words, we ought to pray that we be settled within. Sometimes we come so outward focused that we neglect the issues that we have within. That we strive for perfection, but we're not perfect yet. He says, we pray that we may lead or live a peaceable and quiet life. The church should pray for civic leaders. But then he gives another group. He says that the church should pray for the lost. God desires all men to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4 says God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Paul is not talking about a few people. He is talking about all people. God desires that all people may be reached with the gospel. Matthew 28 verses 19 and 20 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded thee. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. We love the "and lo, he's with us," but we don't like what goes before the "and lo, he's with us." If you go, you get the "lo." Y'all just miss it. We love to say, lo, he's with us in everything, but it's a part of the command, the commission of going, that if we go, we don't go alone. He's with us. He's with us because he wants to save all men. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he is patient with us, not wishing that any one perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's desire should be our prayer. It should be our prayer priority for the lost to be saved. Listen, when you look at the world now and you see just how lost people are, it should grieve you. It should bother you. It should disturb you. You ought to be as Paul was in Romans chapter 9. When he looked at his own people, the Bible says that he travailed. He had what it's like labor pains for a woman. When he looked at his own people, it messed him up on the inside. It disturbed him on the inside. And listen, when you look at your people and when you look at other people, it ought to disturb you on the inside. Just how lost people are. People on the road of destruction and praying not to be destroyed. People are lost in sin, on their way to hell, and the church happy. It ought to disturb us. It ought to burden us. It ought to bother us to see so many people lost. Paul told Timothy in verses 1 and 2 to pray that all be reached with the gospel according to God's plan. God's plan is for us to be saved. I like this because he gives priority to prayer, and he tells us who we ought to pray for, but he inserts in verses 5 through 7, he inserts a point of prayer for the lost to be saved. He says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the Lord, or the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. God's desire for men to be saved is to point to the sending of Jesus Christ to the earth to die on the cross to restore the harmony that was broken when Adam sinned. God doesn't want us lost. Jesus is mediator, which means he's the only one who can stand between a living God and dying people. He's the only one because he's 100% God and 100% man wrapped up in one. His humanity doesn't bother his divinity, and his divinity didn't bother his humanity. He's the only one qualified to stand between God and lost man. And Paul says, for that reason, he's a preacher of the gospel. His purpose for living was to proclaim the coming of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ, and the return of Christ. That same reason we have as men and women of God to be witnesses. We saved to serve. We saved to say that Jesus did come, that he did die, that he was buried, he was raised from the dead. All to have a witness. And now he sits at the right hand of God on high, and he looks over the balcony of eternity down upon the landscape of earth, and he prays for us. And for that reason, we testify of what he has done for us. Paul says there's a priority to pray for all men. But then Paul gives the people that summon to pray. Notice in verse 8, a clause. He says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Now, the word men in Greek means fellow, husband, man, sir. So he's not just speaking to all, he's specifically speaking to men, ordering men to pray. See, in Paul's day, women couldn't come in the courts and participate in temple prayer. Just men. And he now is ordering men to take the leadership role in prayer. You know, now when you open the church and you have prayer meeting, you have more women than you have men. And that's good because we need people to pray. But now he's specifically ordering men to pray. Because listen, when men take the leadership role in prayer, it's a powerful thing. When men get in place, get in position, when men step into a place as an intercessor and intercede for the congregation and his family, and when he intercedes for the community, something special's happened. You can get men in church. You're talking about a powerful meeting. A few years ago, it was a prayer meeting held, and men decided to show up, and God moved in a mighty way. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need praying men. Women, wake your husband up to pray. He ought to lead you in family prayer. Wake him up and get him to the church to pray. Don't leave him at home on Sunday. Wake him up. And if he doesn't get up, make his biscuits hard. Burn up his meatloaf. Make crispy his green beans. Wake him up. And says, you need to be down there. I'm depending on you to be the priest of this house. To be the prayer warrior of this home. You need men. He specifically orders men to pray. But then I'm finished when I tell you the posture. Because in verse 8, because he says, lifting up holy hands. Without wrath and doubting. Oh, in Paul's day, one posture for prayer was to stand and lift up hands toward God with the hands cuffed. While praying, to receive from God. The Bible mentions several postures of prayer. In the Bible, we see standing and kneeling and sitting and falling prostrate. But Paul says, lift up holy hands. Oh, lift those hands heavenward. And spread out, but never folded. Lift those hands with those eyes lifted up as the psalmist David said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence come all of my help. All of my help comes from the Lord. Paul tells Timothy to encourage the men to lift up their hands, and their hands need to be holy. Lift up holy hands means that they had put away all their sins. And they had purpose to live a life holy unto God. He says it's deeper than just washing the hands. As Pilate did after he turned Jesus over to the Sanhedrin Council. For water won't cleanse the hands. But when you go to God in prayer, and the Bible says you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. He says we ought to go to God with holy hands lifted. And I told you before that when you, God reaches down to you, you ought to reach up to God. You ought to reach up to God with prayer. You ought to reach up to God with your own heart. In your hands, stretched out unto God. But you ought to reach up to God with other people in your hand. And have a little talk with Jesus. He says you ought to do it without wrath. Wrath is being vindictive, being malicious. You know what wrathful praying is? It's angry prayers. It's prayer when you pray and ask God to do something bad to somebody. You want God to smite them. You want God to recompense them evil for evil. You want God to destroy them. You want God to curse them. But you ought not pray wrathful prayers. You ought to pray prayers of blessings, asking God to bless your enemies. Listen, not only should you pray without wrath, but he says you ought to pray without doubting. Doubting means reasoning or dialoguing in within yourself. It causes you to feel timid and it is distressful for you. Doubting is controversy within. Doubt is an enemy of faith. But if you're going to pray to God, you got to pray by faith. Because if you're going to come to God, you can't come to God without faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Listen, when we come together to worship, we got to lift one another up in prayer. When we come together for worship, we got to pray for civic leaders. When we come together for worship, we got to pray for the lost to be saved. And listen, when we give ourselves to God in prayer, God will pour out his blessings. You remember the old church once said, when the praises go up and when the prayers go up, blessings come down. Thank God for prayer. I thank God for somebody else interceding for me, because I hadn't always been like I am now. I was too mean to live and too afraid to die. But I thank God that somebody prayed for me. I had a praying grandmama. I had a praying mama and a praying daddy. And somebody can be a witness that prayer will work. Prayer changes things. But not only did I have a praying grandmama and a praying daddy and a praying mama, I had a praying savior in heaven. Thank God for Jesus. Jesus, my kinsman redeemer. Jesus, my way out of no way. Jesus, my horse pawing in the valley. Jesus, my health and my strength.
Jesus, my wheel in the middle of a wheel, he came to my rescue and he picked me up, turned my life around and planted my feet on solid ground. I want to ask you my question, then I'm going to my seat. Ain't the Lord all right? If you know he's all right, let me see you say yeah. He interceded and he intercedes for us now. And the minister of Jesus is the ministry we ought to have. As we are reaching up to God with our own hearts, we ought to reach up with other people in our hands and set them before God to be changed, to be saved, to be restored, to be empowered, to be edified. We should pray for all men. Pray for one another. We should pray for our church. Pray for those who are set in governmental positions as they lead us. We pray that they lead us according to God's holy will and word and way, so that we might live a peaceable and quiet life. Let's not be so critical as we have been. Listen, when Trump was in office, we criticized and prayed not. But the Lord tells us to pray for the most critical and cruel, messed up, narcissistic person who serves in position. Listen, God can handle them better than we can. As we are on the leadership now, in various positions, and this is an election year, we pray for those who are aspiring for office, those who are in office, that they will lead us according to God's holy will, so that we can live a quiet and peaceable life. Listen, as Alan Carr said, and I remind you again, there's not a person on the face of the earth that should not be prayed for. Pray for all men, saved or unsaved, rich or poor, good or bad, friends or enemies. Pray for all men. If we do more praying, we'll do less criticizing. We'll be less malicious and vindictive in our speech and behavior if we pray more. Listen, today we offer Christ to you. If you're here and you're lost, if you are watching by way of the outlets and you're lost, the Lord is speaking to you that every preaching of his word merits an invitation, that you can receive Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior and be saved. For the word says, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart, but yield humbly to the Lord in faith, believing in his son Jesus Christ, that he died on that old rugged cross. They put him in a tomb and God raised him from that tomb the third day. Listen, if you
are not saved, get saved today. Be saved today by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. Life is so uncertain. Life is like a roller coaster. It's taking us on hills and through low places and around bends and crooks and turns that's unexpected. But there's something that's sure, and somebody that's sure, that something is salvation, and that somebody is Jesus Christ, that if you believe in him, you are saved. Secondly, if you're here in need of a church home, and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem Missionary Baptist Church on your heart, the information will be on the screen, and you can communicate with us, share with us your convictions and the moving of the Holy Spirit that he has moved you to this church and this family of faith to be challenged, to be encouraged, to be strengthened, to be empowered, to live out your calling, God's will for your life. Communicate with us. Thirdly, if you're here or watching virtually and you need a church home, you're saved, you've recently moved to this area and you haven't found a church, and the Lord said to you by way of the message today, there's your church. There's your family. Come. Write us. Share with us how God has led you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for the power of your word, the persistence of your word. For we don't have to prop it up. For Lord, you said that you send it, and it will accomplish all that you send it to accomplish. And it will not return unto you void. So Lord, touch now. Perform spiritual surgery. Take out those hearts of stone. And replace those hearts with hearts of flesh. Lord, we depend on you to do a God-sized thing. Because without you, we're nothing. But Lord, with you and your Son, we can do all things. We humbly submit to you, Lord, in this pandemic. Lord, you take control of the words and send it to the four corners of the earth, that it will save from the uttermost. It will save the whosoever will. It will save the lost and downtrodden. Lord, we preach Wednesday. Go before us. Set us straight in your texts, that we may tell the story. Be true to what you have called us to. We believe it and receive it. Now, Lord, as we make ready to go down from this place, but never from your divine presence, keep us, Lord, along the way. Give us traveling grace. Give us mercies to arrive and rest. Lord, be with our church family as we are scattered and spread abroad. This too shall pass. And give us patience to wait on you, to trust you even in this. Lord, we thank you. Now may your grace, love, and communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forever. Every heart say amen. Amen.